dreamed that I had died and gone to heaven. I stood just outside the eastern gate. The man from within said, "Have you been born again? And is your name written in the book of life?" I told him all the deeds that I had done. I told him all the trophies I had won. Then Jesus said to me, "Have you been set free? And is your name written in the book of life? Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, but I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go." And then he turned and left me standing there. I knew it was too late now for prayer. Oh, my sinner friend, if you want to make it in, your name must be in the book of life. Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, but I never knelt in prayer. Search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go.
Thank you, Brother Cone. And I hope that you listen. What a sobering thought. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to stand before God one day, and they're going to say, "Well, I thought I did what I was supposed to do." Folks, that's the reason that doctrine is so important, is establishing biblical doctrine. And one of the greatest doctrines taught in Scripture is the doctrine of eternal life. The doctrine of eternal security, that whatever salvation is, that Jesus came to pay the sin debt for us, whenever you get it, it's everlasting. Whenever you get it, it's forever and ever and ever. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning, and turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter number 22. You know, I probably preach from this Old Testament passage as much as any passage in Scripture in the Old Testament. Every time I read this story, it stirs my soul. Every time I read it, I get chill bumps thinking about it. That, Lord, if I were in Abraham's shoes, would I have done the same thing that he did? It's a chilling thought. But before I read Genesis 22, let me read you another verse. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. A New Testament sister verse to this passage you can find in Philippians 4 and verse 19. Don't turn there, let me read it to you. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did you notice it says, my God, that's the provider, shall supply all your need. That means He's got the resources, right? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Think about that verse as we go to Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or circle the word right out, draw on the side of your margin, write the word testing there because they're synonymous terms, that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. That's always a good response when God speaks. He just said, here am I. It didn't say, okay, what do you want, God? He said, here am I, regardless of the subject matter, speak to me. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. This is what's so heart-wrenching right here. My father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He was totally oblivious to what was happening. He said, father, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the offering? And Abraham, listen to this now, said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And I want you to go back and look at the phrase that Abraham, when the question was confronted him by his son, father, I see the wood, I see the fire, I know what we're going to do, but where is the offering? And daddy said, son, God will provide. God will provide. And I want to take that verse and that statement and speak to you this morning on the great provider. Father, would you meet with us now in this service? Thank you for the privilege of being able to be in church. And we look forward to your moving in our hearts. We came together today for a reason. We're here today because we want to hear something from heaven. We pray that you do something special in our heart and motivate us, Lord, to be better followers and Christians and disciples for Christ. And we'll certainly give you the glory for what you'll do in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. To provide. Did you notice he said, God will provide. That word provide just simply means God will supply. Remember in Philippians 4:19, he says, for my God shall supply. He'll provide. How much? All your needs. And so he said, God will supply, son. God will furnish. Now think about this. In order for there to be provision, there must be a provider. And the provider must be willing and must have the resources in which to supply. You see, if either of these components are missing, one cannot hold the position as a provider. You see, someone can be willing to provide, but don't have the resources to provide. But then on the other hand, someone can be willing to provide and have the resources to provide, but not be willing to provide. So willingness and resourcefulness is what drives the ability to become a provider. For instance, I'm the provider for my home. I'm willing to provide. I have the resources to provide. And listen now, my willingness to provide is motivated by the people who depend on me to provide. Are you following me? You see, what motivates me to provide for my home is because I have people that are dependent upon me to provide for my home. And it's a motivating factor for me to provide. You see, my resources to provide are the result of my stewardship. You see, this combination then brings results. Let me make application. Did you know our loving, wonderful God wants to be a provider for all of us here? He wants to provide for you. He desires to furnish your life with everything that you will need to serve Him. He wants to supply not some of your needs, not half of your needs, all of your needs is what He desires to provide. You see, our Lord has the motivation because we're dependent upon Him. You see, together we've got to understand that without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, I have nothing. That means God is motivated to provide because of those who depend on Him. And guess who that is? That's you. That's us. We depend on Him as our provider. You see, He also has the resources because He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. Now think about this, folks. This is good stuff. God is our provider. He's motivated because of those who depend on Him. He's willing to provide. Oh, let me ask you this. Does He have the resources to provide? Oh boy, does He ever. Now, I don't know about you. I want to punch a hole in those resources from time to time, don't you? I want to see the great provider providing. Now, in our text verses, let me ask you a few questions. Did Abraham have a need? Yes, he did. He certainly did, because you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to take that boy back and present him back to mama. He wanted to take that boy back home with him. So Abraham had a need. Did God have the resources to provide that need? Yes, he did. God had the resources. And by the way, he showed his resources. God was willing, God was motivated, and he had the resources. You see, so they're at a crucial moment in Abraham's life. Listen carefully. His obedience collided with the provision of God. And you know what it created? It created there when his obedience provided with the provision of God, it created faith that would not leave him all of his days. Now, folks, listen to me. The reason maybe some of us here today we lack in walking in faith is because that we have not been as obedient as we should. You see, God provided a realm. Listen now, but Abraham still had to get it and sacrifice it, right? He provided, but God didn't sacrifice. Abraham had to recognize the provision and then operate according to God's provision. You see, the thing about it is God's providing. The problem is some of us aren't recognizing it. God's providing, but some of us aren't going in the thicket and taking the realm and doing what we need to do with God's provisions. Let me give you some biblical illustrations you'll be familiar with. Can I remind you that in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, that God provided a perfect garden? Now listen, but man still had to obey the rules. He provided a perfect situation, a perfect environment, but man still had to obey the rules. You see, the rules weren't really hard. They had one. One rule. God said, I've created a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat of that tree. Okay, Lord, what else are the rules? That's it. It's all the rules. One rule. And the thing about it is, man could not even obey one rule. And God had provided the opportunity for him to have fellowship with him all the days of his life. And he says, listen now, listen, follow me. He says, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but this one tree. Now we find out later, you know what other tree existed in that garden? The tree of life. That if they would have eaten of that, they could live forever. But why didn't they choose to eat of that one? Because it was the one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that brought their curiosity. Because they had one rule that God gave them in a perfect environment, but they still had to follow that one rule, right? Now listen to me. God's given you a life. He's given you a soul. He's given you abilities. He's given you talents. But listen, you still have to follow the rules. You say, okay, then where are the rules? You have them sitting in your lap. There's the rules. There's the guidelines. This is what God has laid down for us to follow. And if we'll follow it, you know what it produces? It produces happiness. It produces joy. But listen to me, you still have to follow the rules. Now, you say, I don't like rules. Well, yeah, you do. Because on your job, you live by the rules, don't you? Because if you didn't, you wouldn't have a job. So see, it's not that we don't believe in rules. It's just when it comes to God intervening in our life, that's when we have the exception there. When God says, here are the rules for life. Here are the rules in serving. Here are the rules of morality. Here are the rules of separation. Here are the rules of service. That's when we take exception with God, when it comes down to messing with our personal self. That's when we take exception. But he provided a perfect garden, but man still had to follow the rules. Now let me slip you a little bit further. In Genesis chapter 6, God provided an ark, but man still had to choose to get on. He provided an ark that could have saved them from the worldwide flood, and which was going to destroy the earth, but he provided a way out, but they chose not to take it. Only 8 people. 8 chose to get on that ark. He chose a way of salvation. He chose a way to escape, and they chose not to get on. Now, the thing about it is, you know when some of them decided they wanted to get on? When God shut the door and it started raining. Then, wait a minute, Lord, things have changed. I changed my mind. It's too late. And can I remind you, there's going to come a day it's going to be too late for you to change your mind also. You see, the thing about it is, the door's wide open today. God says, get on the ark. I can save you from eternal destruction. You see, he provided a way, but man still had to choose to get on. May I remind you, as we move on a little bit further into the book of Exodus, that God provided a way of escape from Egyptian bondage. But you listen to me, Israel still had to choose to leave, right? Now, how crazy is this? They've been in bondage over 400 years. God delivers them, provides a way. He brings Pharaoh to his knees. Pharaoh said, get your stuff and get out. Leave. What if there would have been a group of Israelites that said, you know what, we kind of like it here. I think we're going to stay. You know what people have said? Have you lost your mind? We've been in captivity for 400 years, and now we're free. We can go and be free, and you want to stay in captivity? Listen to me, I'm trying to help some of us today. Listen, God, if you're a Christian today, God has delivered you from bondage. He set you free in Jesus Christ. Why would you want to stay in bondage? He set you free from that. Why would we want to stay in captivity? Why would we want to stay in the world and the world's activities and the world's philosophy? Why would we want to do that? We've been set free from captivity and bondage. May I remind you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, if you want to turn, if you can get there quick, I'm going to read it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Listen now. But will with the temptation also make a way. Stop. You know what he's saying? I will provide. He says, you're not going to face anything in life that I cannot provide a way for you to overcome. Now the thing about it is, look what he says. He says to make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, God's provided a way of escape, but man still has to choose to leave. Let me take you a little bit further. Remember when they got to the Red Sea? Everybody thought, well, what was good while it lasted? Who led us out here to this? Who did? Where's that guy that led us out here? And man, we lost our mind. Back in Egypt, at least we had food, we had a place to live, we had friends. And now we're coming out here to this Red Sea. Now look at it. Look what's happened. We've lost everything. Now listen, God told Moses, he said, see that rod you got in your hand? Yeah. Say, remember all the things that we did back there? Let's show these people one more time. Let's show these people again that there's a God in heaven that didn't bring you out of bondage to leave you on the shores of the Red Sea. He said, I want you to lift that rod. He said, I'm going to show you a great thing. He said, boy, you thought I did something special back there in Egypt. Wait till you see this. And he split that Red Sea wide open. Now listen, God provided a way out. But listen, the people still had to go across. You see, the thing about it is, whatever your situation is this morning, can I say something? God's provided a way out. He's provided a path through a Red Sea. But listen to me, you're still going to have to go across. You say, but it's scary. Look at all that high water. I'm afraid. Well, you know what? Join the rest of us. Some situations that come in life that can be afraid. You can be scary. But you know something? If God's provided up to this point, why would He close the sea on top of you? You see, He's provided an open door. He's provided a way. But Israel still had to go across. Once they got across, let me just hurry along and say that He provided water out of a rock and manna from heaven. But may I remind you, they still had to drink and eat it. You see, God provided a home for them, flowing with milk and honey. But they still had to go in. And because they would not go in, they wandered for 40 years. I don't know. I'm just going to kind of go out on a limb and say this. I think we probably got some people in here that's wandering. You know why? Because God provided. You saw it, but you were afraid to go in. You say, oh, preacher, you don't understand. Do you see them giants? You see what's over there? I can't. I'm just one person. I can't go in there. And by the way, that's what the report of 10 of them came back and said. And listen, here's what you need. If you're new to the Bible, you need to hear me and hear me well. Normally, the majority in the Bible were wrong. Normally, the majority of people in the Bible were wrong in their perception, in their analysis of things. Amen? And so 10 came back and said, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in our sight. 2 came back. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go in. They said, we can't do it. God said, okay, that's fine. And they wandered for 40 years of their life, wasted, barren, because of one thing. God provided, and they didn't go in. God split a Red Sea. They didn't. And listen, some of us, we're not going across. God's provided a way of escape from bondage, but we will not exit. May I remind you that in Scripture, God's provided wisdom, but we still have to choose to apply it. God's provided His Word, but we still need to read it, live it, obey it, apply it, learn it, spread it, and memorize it. He's provided it. See, this is going to get touchy now, all right? You see, God's provided income for more than you paying bills. He's provided you income for you to pay your bills and the greatest debt you have to God. That ought to be the first debt paid. Amen. You say, what is it called? It's called a tithe and an offering. Listen, you didn't think you was going to get that when you came to church today, but I just thought I'd throw that's free. Didn't cost you a thing. But folks, listen to me. God has provided for us income for a reason. Because He wants to use you and I to further the gospel so the world can be reached with the gospel of Christ. Let me mention one thing and I'll move on. God's also provided a Savior, but you still have to trust Him. He's provided a Savior. Jesus said He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Guess who that is? That was us. That's some of you this morning. He provided a Savior, but you still have to choose to trust Him. Now listen, the amazing thing is that our loving God even provides us the ability to choose. But don't you listen. There's going to be one time that you will have no choice. Because after you die, you will have no choice on where you spend eternity. If you've trusted Jesus, it's forever with the Lord. If you haven't, it's damned forever in a place called hell and the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. There will be no choice after death. It's forever and ever with the Lord or without the Lord. Now, go back to Genesis 22. Let me give you a couple of things to chew on before we leave. Genesis chapter 22. Give you a couple of things to think about here concerning our great provider. Here's the first thing I want to share with you. Where God guides, God provides. Okay, let me say that again. Where God guides, God provides. Now listen to this. Are you there in Genesis 22? Look at verse 2. And He said, God, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. God was guiding him away from his family and his home to a place where God wanted to deal with him about some matters in his life. Let me say this. Where God guides, God provides. Now the thing about it is we see it very plainly in Scripture. Did God provide? Yes, He did. Matter of fact, so to the point that Abraham fell down on his face and said, you know what? I've got a name for this place, Jehovah Jireh. You know, I have a sneaky suspicion he never forgot that place. Can I say something to you? 28 years ago, I was sitting in this auditorium on a Sunday evening service, about three pews from the back of the center section. The preaching went forth. I responded to an invitation and walked down that aisle right there and got born again right there. Can I say something to you? Listen, I know some of you probably think I'm nuts, but that's sacred to me. And can I say I've never forgotten it? I've never forgotten that spot, that pew, that night. And may I remind you, I don't think Abraham forgot it either, because he said, this place is Jehovah Jireh to me. God provided in such an incredible way, I'll never forget it the rest of my life. Can I say this about the Lord? God will provide the tools for you to succeed. Do you know He wants you to be a success? He wants you to prosper. He wants you to succeed. And guess what? He will provide all the tools for you to succeed. See, here's what we do, folks. We go out into the world looking for the tools to succeed in spiritual things. The world cannot and does not have the ability to provide things for spiritual growth. So where are we going to get them? We're going to get them from the Lord. We're going to get them from fellowship among believers. We're going to get them from the Word of God. He provides the tools to succeed. But let me tell you something else He does. He will provide the testing to mature. See, Christianity, though it appears to most of the world to be a soft way of life, it's everything but that. That's like one of our troops, one of our men in the military, jumps out of a plane and parachutes down into enemy territory, and they said, don't worry about it. You're not going to get fired at. Nobody wants to hurt you. Nobody wants to capture you. Nobody wants to take your life. Go ahead, it'll be all right. Now listen, can I say to you, they're not being totally upfront. Now you listen to me. If you're a child of God, you need to hear this, and you need to hear this well. The scripture is very plain that when you get saved, you become a soldier for Jesus Christ. And you are parachuting down into this world into enemy territory. God's not trying to hide anything from you. God's told you very plainly what the Christian life exists of. And you know what? It's up to us now to take the weapons of this warfare, of this life, and do battle against our enemy. You see, God will provide the testing to mature. You know what God was putting Abraham through here? A test. A test of what, preacher? It's called faith. You see, the thing about it is, no one in here, all you teachers, Christian school teachers, public school teachers, private school teachers, what's one of the things that your students despise more than anything? Tests. Right? Now listen, because I remember as a student, I'm like, why? I already know this. Why should I be tested? I already know this. I've been listening. Don't you remember? I turned my homework in. I know this. You know why they test you? Because about 2/3 of the people that say that are blowing smoke. Just like I was. I'm just trying to get out of taking the test, right? Now listen to me. As a Christian, that's the way some of us live. You don't understand. God already know this. I don't need to be tested. I don't need to go through any heartaches. I don't need to go through this. I already got this thing of Christianity down. It's pretty simple. God says, no, we need to be tested. You see, He provides the testing for one reason. He wants you to mature. He wants you to grow. So God provides the tools to succeed. God provides the testing to mature. Listen, God provides the time to follow. That's the reason, folks. It's not going to fly with me. Oh, you don't understand, preacher. I don't have time to come to church. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to serve God. I don't have time to sing in the choir. I don't have time to teach Sunday school. No. Listen, the great provider has provided enough time for you to get everything done. You know why? Because where He guides, He provides. So if He guides you, He's going to provide the tools. He's going to provide the testing. Listen, He's going to provide the time. Hey, God will not guide you into anything or any place without the purpose of provision in mind. He's not going to lead you into any place. He's not going to lead you to anything unless He's there to provide, because where He guides, He provides. And he sent Abraham to Moriah. And He provided. Why? Because where He guides, He provides. Here's the next thing I want you to get. What God provides, He decides. I said, what God provides, He decides. Now here's what we do. We not only want God to provide, we want to tell Him what to provide. And listen how spiritual we get when we tell Him how and what to provide. We get on our knees to do it. Right? Now listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just saying, you'll analyze what you pray for from time to time. And you'll find out, like I found out, and I got convicted about this, I found out that the majority of my prayer life existed with things for me. Me. You see, what God provides, He decides. And I begin to catch myself telling God, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to operate. Did you notice in Abraham, in this situation, that God provided the place? God provided the situation? God provided the offering? Listen now, and then God provided the substitute. He provided everything. You say, well, what was Abraham's connection to this? He just did what God told him to do. You see, what God provides, He decides. Now think with me a couple of things. First of all, He decides how much He's going to provide. He decides how much He's going to provide. And the thing about it is, listen, remember the children of Israel when God provided manna? Did He provide enough for 6 months? Then you say, hey, listen, I'm going to drop all this manna. And then he says, I'm going to drop all this quail. I'm going to drop all of this down, and it'll be enough for 6 months. No, you know what? He decided how much he was going to provide, and if they didn't participate in what he provided, it rotted. You see, God decided how much he was going to provide. Listen next. He decides how long he's going to provide. He decides how much he's going to provide. Then he decides how long he's going to provide. Listen, and then he decides when he's going to provide. We've all done it, haven't we? We've gotten on our knees and say, Lord, if you don't do something today, I just don't know what's going to happen. God says, I do. Yeah, I do. I know what's going to happen. You're going to be in the same spot you were because I didn't get you there. Amen. See, here's what we want to do. We want to go be a knucklehead, and then we want God to come back and undo all our knuckleheaded decisions. You see, what God provides, listen now, He decides. You know why this church building is not packed? You know why church buildings all across Arlington are not packed today? I'll tell you why. Because people wanted to dictate what God provided. They didn't want Him to decide, they wanted to decide. And when they decided that what He provided was not enough or on time, they left. They said, you know what? Forget that. You know what? Most of them are walking the streets today, lonely, out of the will of God. You see, in Abraham's case, did you notice that God provided at the last possible moment? Look at it. Genesis 22, verse 9. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay it. Boy, this is getting, listen, it's getting D-Day. It's getting time. Okay, Lord, you know how we are. I got him on the altar, Lord. Hurry. Now listen, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Listen, at this particular point in his life, do you think he said, who's that? Who's that calling on me? Don't you realize I'm fixing to sacrifice my son? Leave me alone. Now, you know what? Oh, Lord, is that you? Oh, yes, I've heard that sweet voice before. And he said, listen now, verse 12, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, listen, for now I know. I know now. Listen, God provides, but He decides. He decides how much, He decides how long, and He decides when. Listen, it was right at the last moment. Has that ever happened to you? But you know what I think may possibly have been the difference between us and Abraham? Some of us begin to question, right? Well, Lord, you know, I give my tithes and offerings. You know, I serve in a ministry. You know, Lord, I've been to church. I mean, look, check my church record. I was there last month. Now, listen to me. Where God guides, God provides. Where God provides, He decides. Now, here's the last thing. Listen. How God decides, you provide. Did you get that? I said, how God decides, you provide. Okay, let me, listen, you look at me like a calf at a new gate. All right, go back to Genesis chapter 22 and look at it. Here's the situation. He binds Isaac, he puts him on the altar. He grabs a knife. What's he fixing to do? He's fixing to carry it out, right? He's fixing to do it. And it wasn't until he got to that point that God then decided, now I know. Now I know that you fear me. Have you ever thought about what would have happened on the other side of this if Abraham would have said, what, offer my son? You're nuts. I'm not doing that. How dare you, God, to ask me to ask of my life something like that? I'll not do it. You know what may have happened? He may have taken Isaac anyway. You see, Abraham provided all the information God wanted to employ his decision to spare Isaac and provide the ram as a substitute. You see, where God guides, he provides. What God provides, he decides. And then while God decides, that's what you provide. You provide God with the information and how he responds in your life. You see, we provide obedience or not. We provide humbleness or not. We provide service or not. We provide faith or not. Remember in the New Testament, remember when Jesus went about in the villages surrounding? And you remember that some of the villages he had to leave and he could not do any great miracles there. He could not do any great works there. Would somebody help me with why he could not? The reason he could not is because of their unbelief, right? He could not do. Why? They didn't supply anything. So Jesus decided and he moved on. And they lost out. Now listen, who provided that caused Jesus to decide to leave the village? They did. They did. Now listen carefully. Let me finish this. God's level of provision is controlled by our level of commitment. God's level of provision is controlled by our level of commitment. You see, no commitment to Jesus for salvation determines God's provision for your future. You see, that's the reason nobody can stand before God and say, well, God sent them to hell. No, he didn't. They provided the details. They sent themselves there. All God was doing was just carrying about the provision. Listen, he didn't provide. He didn't create. He didn't and to make hell for no reason, right? You see, God committed, or no commitment to Jesus for salvation determines God's provision for us in the future. So you know what some of us need to do this morning? We need to come and commit to Jesus. Because how he decides, we provide. It's already settled. That's the reason at death it's heaven or hell. Let me say, no commitment to discipleship to Jesus Christ determines God's decision about rewards in the future. You see, some of us are going to stand before God one day and say, hey, bring in the dump truck. I'm fixing to load up here in rewards. God said, no, you're not going to need a dump truck. And he's going to look at one of the angels and say, bring a thimble. Now listen, here's what we think. We think that we're doing God a favor. Come on, help me out now. We think we're doing God a favor by being here this morning. No, no, he's doing you a favor by keeping you alive. You see, how he decides, you provide. We provide. You see, no commitment to discipleship with Jesus has already determined his decision about the rewards of the future. And may I say this, no commitment to faith in God's word determines God's level of provision in the present. You see, folks, we're not going to get certain things that God has promised to us by osmosis. Now, here's what some of us want to do. We want to take our Bible, we want to put it under our pillow and sleep on it. And we say, Lord, no, take all of the Word of God and put it into my brain. Let all the promises of God soak into my person. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to wake up in the next morning with a sore neck. Now, listen, let me finish this up. This event so impacted Abraham that he called that place Jehovah Jireh because he never forgot it. If you've been sincerely saved, I'm just going to say this to you. If you're truly saved, you haven't forgotten it. Now, you may not be able to remember the time or the place, but you haven't forgotten the experience. And the reason I know that, because most of you, if you've met some kind of movie star or professional athlete, you haven't forgotten that. Right? If you've been sincerely saved, you haven't forgotten it. Hey, listen, if you've sincerely surrendered to the call of Jesus Christ and discipleship, you haven't forgotten it. Because the calling of God, listen, is without repentance. And the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of every day of your life. The great provider. Because where He guides, He provides. And what He provides, He decides. But I want to say this last thing this morning. How He decides, you provide. And you're going to provide God today with whatever He desires to either bless, or you're going to leave here making no decision for Christ whatsoever. And you may go off into an eternity without God. Would you bow your heads for just a moment this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. How many can say, preacher, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And if the trumpet sounded today, or if I passed away in my sleep tonight, I know heaven is my home. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me, preacher, as a testimony. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, that's me. I've truly been born into the family of God, and I'm not ashamed of it. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I just simply want to pray this morning that you would take what has been spoken, what has been preached, and that, Holy Spirit, that you would do your work in our heart, in our life. There's no greater desire in my heart than people come to the saving knowledge of Christ this morning. Please, please hear my cry. Some could not raise their hand. I pray that this morning would be the day of their salvation. Some, Lord, today, they may just need to be restored. Some just may need something in their life, Lord. Maybe there's a great need. Maybe there's a burden. Maybe there's a home issue, a marital issue, issue with children. Maybe there's financial. Whatever the case may be, that your hand would be upon them and help them, guide them, lead them. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. I noticed there were several people that couldn't raise their hand. Would you at least let me pray for you? Because, listen, the greatest decision that you can make in your life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ. Because one day when you face Him, what He decides is going to be what you provide. And if you stand before a thrice holy God one day without Jesus Christ, it's an eternity without God. But if you do, it's an eternity with God. And you say, preacher, I just don't know. I have some questions about where I'm going to spend eternity. I need prayer. I battle with it. I know in my heart what I need to do. It's just that I battle with it. And you say, preacher, please pray for me. Nobody's looking at me. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else, God bless you. You can slip your hand down. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Who will join these three and say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I've been born into the family of God. It's not that I don't want to be saved, preacher. I just have some question about it. Just slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Who will join these three? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. I know it's a command from God, and I need to obey Him. I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. You say, that's me. That's me. Who joined this one? God bless you. There's two. And say, preacher, that's me. I've been saved, never been baptized. Anybody else? God bless you. There's three. You can slip your hand down. God bless you. There's four. Just slip it up so I can see it, and you can slip it right back down. Anybody else? All right, then one last thing. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but you know what? I've probably called God into question way too many times. God has provided so much for me. But maybe you haven't crossed the open door. Maybe you haven't crossed the Red Sea. Maybe He's provided an open door for you to live a joyful Christian life, and you just haven't surrendered to that and crossed that bridge yet. Say, preacher, I know that that's what I need to do. And I need the courage and the strength to get it done. You say, God's provided so much, so many opportunities, and I have been guilty of not taking advantage of those opportunities. You say, preacher, pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, my prayer is simply this. Please, please hear the cry of these dear people. I pray that as I pray that the still small voice of God would supersede mine, penetrate the hearts of those who have raised their hands. Some need to be saved. Some need to be baptized. Some need to gather around this altar this morning. You've opened doors of opportunity in so many different areas. The Red Sea has split for many here, but they have not gone across yet. I'm sure there's a degree of fear. I'm sure there's a degree of anxiety and anticipation. But Lord, You've never let us down before. You've never failed us before. And I know You will not fail us today either. Would You do the work in the hearts of the people that needs to be done? And we'll be careful to give You all the glory and praise for it in Christ's name. there with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? As we stand to our feet, I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play, our musician begin to sing. And as they do, you come. If you raised your hand and I prayed for you, ma'am, would you come? Sir, would you come? If you raised your hand and said, I need to be saved, would you slip down here and we'll have somebody talk to you? If you're a lady, we'll have a lady talk with you. If you're a man, we'll have a man talk with you. Come on this morning. Come on. Come on. If you raised your hand, you come. Maybe you're here this morning. You said, preacher, I'm a Christian, but I've never been baptized. This is your opportunity. Maybe you're looking for a church home this morning and you know that you need to be in church somewhere and have a church home, a place that you can call your place of worship. Would you come? Would you come? This is your opportunity. Anyone? Anyone? If you slipped your hand up and I prayed for you, you say, God's provided so many different things, so many open doors, preacher, and I haven't gone through them. Would you come and dedicate yourself to the Lord this morning? Whatever your need is, this is why we're here. We're here for you. Your soul could be at stake. Maybe God's speaking to your heart.